has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. We will begin with a L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabritu Ishkin Te Bitki Lurkimu Utilu Utilu Urkim Leaka L'Shem Yud He Bavate. The Yehud HaShalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. V'ayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeihu. Today we are studying the fourth Aliyah of Parashat Mishpatim. It runs from Exodus chapter 22, verse 27 to Chapter 23, verse 5. This is a total of 9 verses, and we know that the number 9 either connects to Yesod, if we're counting the tree of life down, or Chachma, wisdom, from the tree of life up. Verse 27. Elohim lo tikalel v'masiyo yamcha lo ta'or Maleacha v'dimacha lo ta'acher b'kor Banecha titen li Kein tasel yisrecha Lishorcha l'tzonecha shivat yamim yihye imimo v'yom hashmini tit no li Anshe Kodesh Tihiyun Li Uvasar Basade Terefa Lo Tokelu Lakelev Tashlikun Oto Lo Tisa Shema Shav Alta Shet Yadcha Im Rasha Liyot Er Hamas Lo Tihye Achare Rabin Raut Willo Ta'ane Al Rivlin Tot Achare Rabin Lehatot Wadalo tehedar berivo kitifka shoro yifka ot hamoro toe hashev teshivenu lo kitire hamor shona aka Rovet tachat masao v'chadalta me'azov lo azov ta'azov imo. That completes the Hebrew reading for today. We will begin to study the English translation. Verse 27, you shall not curse a judge, neither shall you curse a prince among your people. Essentially, you're not supposed to curse anybody, but it's especially important not to curse relatively important people. The prince among your people are the leaders of the tribes. A judge is, we all know what a judge is, but the essence is not to curse important people, but important people are not from the frame of how much money they have. It's from their position and their leadership where people have recognized them as leaders. Your fullness, verse 28, your fullness offering and your heave offering you shall not delay. The firstborn of your sons you shall give me. This is referring to the ritual of the Pidyon HaBen. I'm not sure what the idea of the fullness offering. I don't remember seeing that before. I'm looking at the Hebrew. The word for fullness is le'atcha, or mele'atcha. And it's really, the word for the Shekhinah, et, is in that word. So, it's really talking about an offering where you are feeling satisfied. Verse 29, so shall you do with your cattle and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its mother, and on the eighth day you may give it to me. The reason that it's on the eighth day, just like the Brit Milah, done on the eighth day, because the baby is so sure to have been living through its first Shabbat if we wait till the eighth day. The same is true for the cattle and the sheep. Verse 30, and you shall be holy people to me, and flesh torn in the field you shall not eat. You shall throw it to the dog. Chapter 23. You shall not accept a false report. Do not place your hand with a wicked person to be a false witness. You shall not follow the majority. You shall not follow the majority for evil, and you shall not respond concerning a lawsuit to follow many to pervert justice. This is an important verse. Why is it important? Because the Torah tells us to follow the majority. We understand that the majority means the majority of people who are knowledgeable. But here it's saying, even if you know somebody is, the majority is doing evil, you are not supposed to concur and follow that action. Means it's your responsibility to do the right thing. And we know the whole process, the right thing at the right time, in the right location, with the right kavanah. And your excuse that they all were doing it is not a valid excuse. It's not even a valid explanation, because you have the responsibility for yourself. Verse 3. Neither shall you glorify a poor man in his lawsuit. A lawsuit between two people has to be judged on its merits, not because someone is poor or not because someone is rich, not because someone is important. It's but you follow it based on the merits of the facts. If you come upon your enemy's bull or his stray donkey, you shall surely return it to him. If you see your enemy's donkey lying under its burden, would you refrain from helping him? You shall surely help along with him. What it's saying, it says many different levels in this verse. But if it's your enemy, then the donkey that belongs to your enemy is also your enemy. Because there's a relationship between every human being and the things that they own, animals, houses, things. That relationship doesn't apply as strongly to living things. And so if the donkey is not able to carry the load, the donkey is in pain, because the donkey's purpose of carrying the load, that's what it was created to do, to carry the load. And if it can't, it's really in, its soul is in pain. Its nephesh is really hurting because it cannot do what it was created to do. So we We need to help it. Not necessarily your enemy, but in the fact that your enemy is helped by you helping the donkey, that's not a reason to not help the donkey. That's the end of the reading. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, in the beginning you were talking about we're not supposed to curse like judges. Explain that more.
Well, you're not supposed to curse anybody. Why? Because curses have power, just like blessings do. And, you know, when I was a child, I heard the phrase, GD it. And I started to use it. And it wasn't until I really started to study Kabbalah that I recognized, I didn't say it a lot, but it was part of my vocabulary, and it needed to not be part of my vocabulary. So when I reached the study of Kabbalah and I came to understand this whole idea, we don't curse anybody, because the same as a blessing has energy, the curse has energy. They're both words, and they're both expressed with the passion that a person is feeling at the moment. But this particular verse says, doesn't say don't curse everybody. It says don't curse important people like judges, like the leaders of the tribe, like a person who has been identified by a group of people as their leader. That person is an important person. And when you curse that important person, you are really flouting or going against the decisions and the information and the energy that's imparted to that person by the people identifying that person as their leader. In any organization, but it's usually thought of in terms of the king or the president, that person does not have free will. That person is manifesting the will of the people. It's not his free will. He may think it is, but it's not. He is doing what the energy of the people is telling him to do. So when you curse him, you're really abdicating the decision of the community. And that's why we're being told not to curse the important people. Judy, was that clear?
Well, I was just wondering, when you were saying just now, okay, what if the will of the people, let's say an area, territory, is predominantly people who are not very good, upstanding people, or that particular section or whatever, who has ever elected someone, does not, you know what I mean? They're in a very negative energy. They kind of rule that whole territory. So it makes would that make that person a corrupt person? Or, I mean, if they have to do the will of the people, how do you go about not agreeing with their majority if the person, because you said they have the will of the people. What if the will of the people are more, majority of the people are evil? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get an understanding
about. The other verse we read in very, very close to that says to not follow the evil majority. We follow the majority rules, but if the majority has chosen evil, a person that's evil, we're not to follow that person. Now, as an example of the recent situation with President Trump, is he an evil man? Who knows? You know, he's been identified as a narcissist, whatever that means, and so forth. But bottom line, he did actions that hurt people. The separation of the children at the border is one example. He hurt people. Now, he is the leader of the country. We cannot change what he does. We don't have the authority, but we can protest. We can donate money to see if they can find the children. There are many things that we can do to not follow his evil actions, even though he represents the majority. It's how do you balance these conflicting statements? That's what makes life interesting. That's what makes life difficult. Have I confused you completely?
Well, no, you did good. But what I'm trying, I guess for me, the emotion that I get in, when you're a group of people and you're discussing whatever the political view is, and the majority, you know, kind of, it's, you know, you kind of see the news and Facebook, whatever it is, and it tends to be, this is pretend to be the fact, which may not be the fact. It's just, how do you go about being in a group discussing something like that and not cursing the person, because you get so pulled into the emotion of the conversation and you're trying to avoid not to curse? That's the part that I'm trying to understand, because of what the scripture saying, is learning how not to do that, to be part of the majority, and yet being, you know, having your own say, whether it's agreeing or disagreeing with what the group is saying. That must be, I think that's the most ongoing problem we have right now in our country. That's a very important scripture you said today.
I agree with you. And the answer to your question is, how do you stop yourself from cursing? It's called binding by striking. The more you practice it, and you know, in my basic class, I do things like that seem to be absurd. Like when you get dressed in the morning, when you go into your underwear drawer, which one do you pick? You pick the one on top, or you pick your favorite. Whatever your source of your decision process, stop it. Stop that action. And think about, how do you do that? How do you put on your underwear in order to share with other people? The more you practice binding by striking in the mundane tasks of life, the easier you will find being able to stop your tendency to curse. Everything we do, you have to fake it till you make it, is the adage. But the reality of that statement is, everything has to be practiced. You have to practice your psychic abilities in order to strengthen them. You have to practice your muscles in order to strengthen them. You have to learn how to see past the illusion. All of that is practiced. All of that is consciousness. Doing things with consciousness. The only reason you curse is because it's a habit. Don't do things with habit. Be conscious of what you do. The Buddhist and the modern age, they keep talking about be in the now. What does that mean? It means be conscious of the words that you say. You start to say a sentence, "Good morning, how are you?" Actually, you just say the first letter, G. The rest of it is unconscious. It's a habit to say, "Good morning, how are you?" Don't say it like that. Be conscious of what you're saying. Do you really want to know how that person is? Do you really want to smile and elevate that person's mood when you say good morning? Do things with consciousness. It's not an easy thing to practice. But this is the tool that will stop any bad trait, any bad characteristic that you ever develop. Because those bad characteristics are just habits. And the only way to change a habit is to take on a new habit.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Eric Shira, paragraph 20 of chapter 4 is the starling. It's on page 9, three paragraphs from the bottom. Zar zero mer weoda pagoim zaram vite etaihem betoch haamin galro ehem yakirum ki hem zera beira adonai yo hewahe adanu yo Yo, Ahedawanuheyo. The starling is saying, their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which God has blessed, which Hashem has blessed. This is a verse from Isaiah. This is speaking of the Jewish people when they are holy, when they are doing holy actions. I don't remember the meaning of the word zar, Zion Resh, but the name of the starling is Zarzir. It's 424 in Gematria, but I didn't have time to really prepare this. I apologize. But if someone has the time today, let's talk about, or I'll try and do it tonight. What is a zarzir, and what is the essence of the bird known as the starling? Are there any other questions or comments? We have three classes today. The 11 o'clock class is Musar. We're continuing our study of the path of the just. And I think you'll find it interesting because it's really effective, especially helping us develop good characteristics. Oh, Deep Zohar at 4:30 and at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. And all of these times that I've mentioned are West Coast time, so please adjust to your time zone. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Hanok.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Yep. Shalom.